Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Folks, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, and it is 27 October 2023. Welcome to today's broadcast of Financial Survival. Melody will be here. She just ran a little bit late, probably on a phone call or something, so I'll do my best to start the broadcast. I want to welcome you. I really do. You know, I appreciate that you folks listen to Melody's program. You call and tell me you hear me on the program, then you listen to our broadcast tonight and at nighttime, Monday through Wednesday, 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern, and I appreciate that. And it's an honor, and it's very humbling to know that some people actually think we have something to say. But anyway, I'm glad you're with us, and I do mean that. And again, the call Melody, 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. I guess when she comes on, she'll yell at me. But until then, we'll cover some news. She'll bring the markets up and different things, so we get that minute. But I want to start the story here. I think it's kind of odd. This gentleman did not think this idea he had all the way through, obviously. Alleged hammer welding robber targets gun store, gets shot dead. That was not a really intelligent move in this fellow's behalf. An alleged hammer-wielding robber was shot and killed Sunday afternoon around 2:30 p.m. as he reportedly tried to rob a gun store, and the store owner opened fire. KTVU reported that the incident occurred at East Bay Firearms in Liverpool, California. 20-year-old alleged robber came into the store wearing a mask, gloves, and a hooded sweatshirt pulled over his head. Liverpool Police Department observed that the alleged robber then attempted to rob the gun store by taking a firearm while armed with a hammer. Yeah, no point going further, but the police said the owner was only acting in self-defense, and he was. But, you know, folks, I don't know. It's not funny, but it's a sad situation that people, what can you say? They that was totally ignorant, and maybe he was high on something. Who knows what happened to him? But there was something wrong with him. But anyway, I think I heard Melody in the background. Is Melody there?
I am here.
Well, it's about cotton picking time.
Oh, I know. It's Friday, but we've been very, 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 very busy today. So,
well, good.
So, yes. But what were you talking about?
Oh, I'm talking about a guy in California tried to rob a gun store, never mind, with a hammer.
Oh, no.
He didn't think I threw.
Well, it is California. But we do have many, many listeners and many, many clients. So this is not reflective of you. So
no, it's not. I just thinking he wasn't thinking. That's a problem. Obviously, he wasn't thinking.
Well, obviously, anybody who does nasty things, they're not thinking. So,
yeah.
But we got a lot to talk about, lots of things to think about. I didn't know if you were able to get to any of the markets or anything yet.
No,
or?
I didn't do those. I didn't have them ready. I knew you'd be with them in a minute. You bring it right up to us. You go right ahead.
Well, things are certainly heating up. We had gold jump today at $20.60 at 2006. This is a New York spot price. And also now gold is actually outperforming the S&P for the year.
Yes.
So there you have it. Silver's up 26 cents at $23.14. Platinum was down a buck at $9.11, and palladium was down 12 at $1,147. The USDX today was down 0.05 at 106.56. Crude oil was up almost $2 at $85.14. The paper markets today, the Dow dropped more than 350 points to end the week. The S&P closes in correction territory. So the Dow was down 366 points. The S&P was down basically 20. The NASDAQ was up 47, but it's been battered this week. So up 47 at the end of the week it had really is not a good showing. And so some of the other foreign markets, you know, the Asian markets, they were all positive overnight. Not quite sure. And European markets were negative all across the board. 10-year yield, 4.83, so it's holding that area, 4.83. And we also have natural gas. That was down almost 2% at 3.158. So, you know, I think a lot of this, again, is the Middle East that is heating up. And I was just able to... really get on the internet to see really what was going on today. And so I don't know. You have China sell off threatens $27 billion of snowball derivatives. So I think we know what snowball means. It turns into a really big snowball as it goes down the hill. So, you know, they're threatened they're threatening $27 billion, and we know there's trillions of dollars in derivatives. So this is a tiny thing, but it doesn't have to be a huge thing in order to have that contagion and to have that snowball effect on the derivatives.
Can I ask you a question, Melody, please?
No.
Oh, okay, I won't.
It's Friday.
I thought you might have an answer today, since I get 2 days to rest your brain.
All right,
just curious, a derivative is like a gamble almost. How does that work? How do they make that look? How do you monetize nothing? Well, they do it all the time. I'm talking about the derivative.
I know. That's what the government does. That's what Wall Street does. You know, they create things out of nothing, out of thin air. And it's a handshake, basically. There's no collateral used. It's just somebody saying, yeah, I'll cover that. It's insurance. And, but it's just promises, and promises don't mean anything in the world we live.
Well, the trillions and trillions of dollars.
Trillions and trillions of dollars. That is the assets that they're covering.
It's just amazing. That's more than the whole globe is worth as far as finances go. It's amazing.
I mean, there's so much that you don't know about them, like who's holding them and how, you know, and they all deny it, but you got your big banks, your two big defail banks. Those are the ones that, you know, carry the heaviest weight of them. And that's just an interesting part of the wheel that
it's weird.
Once it breaks, you know, it's just like the bond market. Look how it's been rutted. No, but nobody talks about it.
No,
everybody just talks about, oh, gee, you know, it's going to be the biggest thing to buy next year. But yeah, well, you know, think about the people in fixed incomes now holding something that is, you know, dropped the most in history. Nobody talks about that.
No, they don't. We got an article talking about what Yellen said about the inflation. Well, we'll discuss what Janet Yellen said. I don't. This woman must be senile or something. Something wrong with her head. But go ahead.
You know, and you know, and it cracks me up. We come out with a GDP yesterday of 4.9. And, you know, when you look into the report, it shows that the people's savings have gone down. So they're using their savings, I guess, to buy stuff, to go out to dinner. But a lot of it is medications, pharmaceuticals, and, the, you know, that's leading the way. So it's a sick country. And unless I don't know what else it could be. And I just think they're just flat out lying to you, because Here you have two in three Americans say their household expenses have risen over the year, but only about one in four say their income has increased in the same period. So their household expenses are outpacing their earnings.
Of course.
So how can Americans go out there and spend to the tune of 4.9 GDP? How does that all work?
I guess same way derivatives do.
Yeah, yeah. And here's a guy who said, who works as an audio engineer in Pittsburgh, said he's been spending about $100 a week on groceries prior to the past year, but now he's shelling out closer to $200 a week.
I have no doubt that's true. Yes.
Yeah. And 8 in 10 Americans, true. 8 in 10 say their overall household debt is higher than it was a year ago, or about the same. About half say they currently have credit card debt. 4 in 10 are dealing with auto loans. 1 in 4 have medical debt. Only 15% say that their household savings have increased. So, yeah, we're doing great as an economy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So
I agree.
So, anyway, what's up with you?
Well, there's a lot going on. A lot happening.
We do need to talk about the war.
Yeah, we do. We'll get that. That's on my list. You want to do that first?
Let's do that, because and the reason is because the effect it has on gold, that it is officially outperforming stocks in 2023 as October is coming to an end. So yes, let's. Because that is being heated up right now. Right after, was it Wednesday, when there was reports saying that they were going to pull back and hold off on the invasion? Well, it doesn't look like they are.
That isn't happening.
Liar, liar, pants on fire, yeah.
I mean, the article here says the IDF denies truce imminent, denies the headlines, readies for long-awaited ground invasion. Friday has witnessed a flurry of premature ceasefire imminent headlines, which have turned out not to be true, at least by all other indicators, most especially the ground situation and the fact that Israel airstrikes have only stepped up in the last 48 hours. Israeli officials have rejected these false starts. For example, Doha-based Algeria seems intent on presenting Qatar as the unsung peace hero in all this, while claiming that Algeria sources says negotiations mediated by Qatar on a ceasefire and prisoner exchange deal between Israel and Hamas are progressing at an advanced stage. And yet, inbound rocket sirens continue to blare across the southern Israel on Friday, and in the strip of IDF air forces are blasting away at Hamas headquarters and locations. What's more is there are reports saying that Israel has increased its warnings for Al-Shifa Hospital to be evacuated, with the, which is the Gaza's largest medical complex. Regional war correspondent Levant Kimai is being widely cited, who said local Palestinian sources report that Israel has notified that it will strike all units of the Shifa Hospital. A series of IDF public statements on Friday strongly suggests that Israel is preparing military action against the hospital, saying that the Hamas intentionally placed military sites at the hospital. So, no, it's not slowing down. It's not slowing down. And Putin's made a statement that I think everybody should pay attention to. Putin warns Gaza war could spread beyond Middle East. And I promise you, if it continues to spread, it's going to go way beyond the Middle East. On the same day that a Hamas delegation made a rare visit to Moscow to discuss the crisis in Gaza, President Putin warned in a speech that the conflict has the potential to spread well beyond the Middle East. In a Wednesday meeting at the Kremlin, he decried Israel's indiscriminate airstrikes on the Gaza Strip, which have left over 7,000 people, mostly civilians, at least half of them women and children, dead. Our task today, our main task, is to stop the bloodshed and violence, said Putin, as he cited from an official's transcript. Otherwise, further escalation of the crisis is fraught with grave and extremely dangerous and destructive consequences. That's when the Russian president emphasized, and not only for the Middle East region, it could spill over far beyond the borders of the Middle East. And Melody, he's right. He is very, very, very much right. We'll get through this in a little bit here, but this tension that we shared before the last couple of weeks is spreading across the world, but especially here in America, we're seeing tension build up between the Muslims and the Jews or whatever. Their tensions are spreading. It's building up pressure. It's another rift in our society. It is going to spread a lot further than the Middle East. Obviously, it's already done it in a lot of different ways. It's just a matter of time that blows up maybe some ways we don't want to think about. Any comments you want to add to that?
I do. Well, you know, if you look, no wonder things are being heated up, because that's exactly what they want.
Of course.
There is not a level-headed person in media or in D.C. to calm and to try to avoid what's happening in this, you know, with what people are doing. It's like being encouraged and pushed. You continue to see these images, and you know, it's no wonder people are beginning to choose sides. You know, there really isn't any side to choose. And it's, I don't know. It's all by, again, I hate saying it, because that means they're really, really evil people. But it really is. It's all by design.
It truly is.
And there's goals, and there's money and power all involved. And then the people, you know, have to pick sides. They have to voice their opinions, and people are going to get hurt. So,
well, there's no way other to look at war than to know it had to be instigated. Because the people that are being killed on both sides, the innocent people, the children, the women especially, they didn't want the war. They didn't instigate the war.
No.
They're not launching rocks at each other. They didn't cross borders and kill anybody. But those are the ones that suffer the most. I accept and expect the military to pay with casualties. If you're going to go to war, you're going to die in battle. But the innocents, they don't have to die in battle. I didn't say that it's unavoidable in a real war. It is unavoidable. Some are going to die. But it's getting to the extreme now on both sides. And I don't know, I'm not going to get all the reasons why I think it is in certain different directions. But the point of it is. And young children are suffering and dying. And young ladies who had nothing and had no desire to go to war. They just wanted to raise their children. The children just want to grow up and as normal children. And now this is expanding to the point to get 7,000 Muslims killed. And I don't know how many, a couple thousand on the Israeli side, I suppose, killed. But almost all those are civilians. Almost all of them. So, yeah, if military wants to kill each other, I understand that. But when you start intentionally rocketing civilian sites, bombing civilian sites, and they do it in all wars. They did in Germany. They did the same thing in Vietnam. How do I know that? Because I was there when something went on. I know what they did. Wiped out whole villages of children. They said, we couldn't tell them apart from anybody. Well, that may be true, but that doesn't make it right. So, anyway.
Well, there is a term that is used, and I don't like the term, but there is collateral damage.
That's what they say. And I understand. It can be lessened a lot if they would only concentrate on the troops firing each other and quit firing in the cities.
To some degree, it's the arrogance of Netanyahu, because he's willing to risk this full-out war.
Oh, yes.
Immediately without concern of the consequences. And I think that is supported by our administration supporting and doing other than saying, well, gee, can you wait? Please stand down. I mean, come on. This administration can't be any more powerful than to tell Netanyahu to slow down and to wait and to get some humanitarian aid in there and so forth. Again, it goes to show the world has no respect for this government anymore. And they'll just do whatever they please to do. So, yeah, Netanyahu, he's just ignoring the consequences just to do what he wants
Since
to do.
Since the beginning of the United and States,
we'll be right back.
Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie and hurt you, never gonna give you up, never gonna let you
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paul, 1-800-375-4188. Things have been hectic, and we do close early on Fridays, so leave a message, and we'll get back to you probably over the weekend or Monday. So are we ready to finish up happening? And
I got a couple more if you want to share them.
Okay, go right ahead.
Because this is kind of important. It is expanding. It's expanding way beyond Gaza and Israel. Fears all around back militias will unite and invade Israel to reap terror as chilling threat appears on Lebanon border. Fears are mounting. Iran backed militias are willing to invade Israel to a sinister message appearing on the Lebanese Israeli border. A chilling mural of terrorist groups, including Hamas and Hezbollah, was painted on the barriers Lebanese side. IRGC commander Qassem Soleimani is pictured in a chilling mural on the barrier along with Iran backed terrorist organizations. Soleimani's replacement, Ismail Khani, is reportedly leading the effort for a terrorist group to invade Israel. Above a large portrait of former Islamic Revolution Guard Corps commander Qassem Soleimani, who was assassinated by the U.S. in 2020, are the flags of Gaza, Lebanon, Iraq, and Syria's Iran-backed militia groups. representing the Namir are Hamas, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Hezbollah, Abu Allah Mustafa Brigade, Popular Mobilization Forces, the Revolutionary Guards, Harakat Hezbollah al-Nujaba, Lawa Zenbimian, and Lawa Fantimian. Israel-based research center Alma wrote of the painting on XT Twitter, the message is clear. The proxies of Iran intend to amass on Israel's northern border. So, there you go. What's going to happen next there? I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. I would like to have thought, Melody, that somebody was saying, hold it, hold it, hold it. Somebody, let's stop right now before it goes any further. I think that in my mind, Israel's got more than even with the Gaza and the people that live there. I think that they've got more than even with that. That's my opinion. But I just, did they want to spread into other nations and eventually around the world and cause division around the world? Is that what they really want? Is this plan to be the World War III that was talked about many, many years ago and more or less, we'll say, prophesied in a non-biblical way by a high Masonic leader lived in the Civil War era? And I'm trying to think of his name. I can see his picture, but I can't think of his name. Could this be part of it? Is this plan? Is it what they want? Did they really want world war? What was Ukraine or Russia not enough of catalyst to get us started? Albert Pike said that this would happen. So there'd be a third world war. Is this what they're going to use since Ukraine and Russia didn't get a spread fast enough? They're going to use Middle East. Now, these are things they need to think about, are they not?
Absolutely.
I mean, they're still fighting. Russia and Ukraine is still fighting. Didn't go away. So, I don't know.
Or maybe this is just a way to make sure that Congress now, and you know, it's funny, they've waited to really do the incursion until they had this new leader of Congress.
Yeah, the House, Johnson.
And
there's some good points about him we'll share at the end of the program.
But my point is, it's funny they waited until they had him voted in because they need the money.
Yeah.
So a coincidence? No, there's no such thing as
a coincidence. No, it's all planned. Iranian-backed militias mount new wave of attacks as U.S. supports Israel. U.S. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken warned Tuesday that Washington would react swiftly and decisively if Iran or its proxy forces attack U.S. personnel after Tehran raised the risk of a larger Middle East conflict in recent days by unleashing the regional militias it has spent years arming. More than 6 months, these Iranian-backed militia groups are refrained from launching drones or rockets against American troops in Iraq and Syria as part of what happened to be an undeclared truce between Tehran and Washington. That came to an abrupt end when U.S. officials said the Iran-backed groups launched 10 drones and rockets against base and U.S. troops used in Iraq and other three on the U.S. base in southeast Syria. So, yes, it's already spreading. It really is. And Israel strikes in Syria after rockets fired toward Golan Heights. So, again, Isaiah 17:1, folks, read it. This is prophecy, may be fulfilled. Whether it's this time or not, I have no idea. None of this is happening by surprise. I mean, I don't know what else to say, Mel. There's nothing else I can say. But the people that want these wars, not just one war, they want these wars, have a plan for that. They always have. So you go ahead.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I wish I could say other things. I mean, I could read. There are some things I have to share, and I do want to cover a couple financial things too. But just to show you how bad it's already spreading across country, our country, rather than protecting Jews, we're being told to hide again. A day after Jewish college kids found it necessary to barricade themselves inside the library in the center of Greenwich Village, while a mob of repugnant terrorist lovers banged on the locked doors trying to get at them, the message is being broadcast that on this Sabbath, Jews in Brooklyn had better remain at home. Stay inside. Lock the doors. A pro-Palestinian protest is scheduled for 3 p.m. Saturday in front of a Brooklyn museum. That's a mile from 770 Eastern Parkway, the headquarters of the largest ultra-Orthodox sect in the world, the Lubavitch Hasidim. Roughly 20,000 observant Jews live around 770 in the neighborhood called Crown Heights. Jews should definitely avoid the area as an ultra-Orthodox news site called COLLive.com said, and a security source has advised them and the Shemira to local Jewish Self-Defense Association. So when people are in fear to go out, I don't care whose side they're on, that's going to cause tension. I mean, when COVID hit, people stayed home. They may not have liked it, but they didn't have anything to aim their guns at, so to speak. Now they have someone that's tangible, something tangible they can get angry about. And really, that's really a dangerous situation. Go ahead.
You know, I think, too, it flows also into various, and I think this, you know, the incident in Maine.
Oh, yes.
And it was just a week or so ago, I was thinking to myself, well, you know, we really haven't had any mass shootings in a while. And now you have, you know, you have people that are mentally unstable, and you have all of this hatred and all this talk overflowing into these areas. It's and then we have situations. So, I don't know.
Well, you know, Congress is not blaming necessarily individuals. They're blaming the guns again. You know that.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, it's interesting about Maine is they have some of the least amount of gun laws, and they're one of the safest states.
They are.
They're one of the safest states. But yet, when you listen to these mainstream media programs, they think, you know, oh, you know, here they have all these weapons, and, you know, it still happens. It's like, oh, my.
Well, and on the other hand, I didn't bring the story on, but I'll share a lady was driving home from work to get to her house when all this happened. She was stopped by the cops along the highway. She got home, and, of course, she was very apprehensive, so her family's owned some weapons, some guns. I think her son, her husband, herself armed themselves with AR-15s, one of them their assault weapons, and protected her home in case he come by. So, yeah. You know, this is what armed people do. That's what you do as an armed citizen. You defend yourself, and you're going to have nutcases, whether they're mental, whether they're programmed. And yes, the folks are people are programmed to do these things. You're going to have these situations, but armed individuals, and not just at home, but in public, can make a huge difference.
Well, you know, when I first moved to Missouri, there was a fugitive that was roaming around. And the law enforcement in central Missouri, they were counting on the possibility
that he would
break into someone's home and that, you know, would be able to take care of the situation. Everybody was well aware. Everybody was well armed. And everybody was on heightened alert. Everybody knew what was going on, and eventually the police did, you know, find the individual, but they worked together as a community, and that's what caught the guy. So,
and that's the way it should be.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it's supposed to be. You know, I mean, we don't have too many break-ins around where we live here in this little area we live in, because the people in this little neighborhood are basically, well, I would say 95% of them are more armed, and they're ready. And I would say this is probably a conservative number, but I'd say at least 50% of people I meet and know are carrying, either on their open or in their pocket or in their purse or whatever, they're carrying in this area. We don't have a whole lot of trouble with somebody coming in with gun violence. And it's a shame to have a society where you feel like you have to be armed, but it happens. It does. So there's no point in thinking that we can just go back, step back and do nothing. That's our job, to defend ourselves, folks. That's what the Second Amendment's not about, duck hunting at all. And I get tired of hearing these so-called, I hate to use the word liberals, but we'll say that, or anti-gun people saying, well, you don't need a 20-round clip to duck hunt or deer hunt. No, you don't. That's not what the Second Amendment's about, my friend. Then you need to read it a little closer. It's about keeping liberty, keeping staying free. It has nothing to do with duck hunting. It has to defend yourself against dangerous people, including your own government if necessary. And by the way, that talk's going up not by me. It's going up in society. Both Democrats and Republicans say there may not be any peaceful end to what's happening in this country. This is really a sad, dangerous time we're living in.
It is.
If you have children, grandchildren, you better be preparing them somehow. Go ahead, Melody.
No, absolutely. But, you know, everyone has become so, for lack of a better description, politically correct that, you know, they're not taught the proper way to survive the various.
No, they're not.
The dangerous world that they're entering. You know, they're mamby-pambying, you know, the youth, and they'll find it harder and harder to live in our world.
Well, unfortunately, that's been going on for generations. It's caught up to us now. But one more story about what's happening in this country. Residents on edge after anti-Semitic graffiti spray painted at Beverly Hills apartment complex. Beverly Hills, California. This is coast to coast, folks. Residents of Beverly Hills apartment complex were on edge after anti-Semitic graffiti was found spray painted outside the building. The vandalism was discovered on Wednesday outside the Belford Manor apartments on Bedford Drive, just south Olympic Boulevard. "It's just terribly emotional and it's frightening," Clara Firestone, the manager of the building, said in an interview on ABC7. "It's frightening to know that it's happening in my own home, literally in my own home." It is. But see, it's hard to imagine, though, that a war, and so far we'll say it's localized, that's thousands of miles away from Hollywood or New York or anywhere else, is causing such strife in America. But it's doing it in Australia. It's doing it all the world. It's doing it in London. It's affecting everybody, is it not?
It is.
So I just think it's something that we need to stop and think about. The consequences of this are not something that you just watch on TV. This is happening to real people. It can happen anywhere at any time. And we've sat back in this nation as a whole very smugly for a long time, thinking it can never happen here. Prepare yourself, my friends, please. How will you survive without any finances coming in? How would you survive without electricity for any length of time? How would you feed yourself when your food spoils? Where are you going to go to get resupplied? Now, those are valid thoughts. If you don't believe me, ask the people in Gaza right now or other places, and in cities in Ukraine and Russia both. When the place is no longer available and there's no way to get food in, they can't get supplies in Gaza, because they don't want them to cross the border, where do you go? What do you do? The time to think about that is before it happens, not after. Do you agree?
Agreed.
Anything you want to add to that?
No, sir.
Are you
Friday.
Sure?
It's Friday. I got all my frustration out the first segment of the program.
Oh, it didn't take you long.
No.
I'm going to share some news here, at least a little bit of financial news real quick here, and then we'll get into some more. Actually, we're going to discuss some more war news going on in Ukraine and Russia right now, too. It hasn't ended over there, folks. It hasn't ended at all. I wish I could say it had, and they found peace there, and they're working on finding peace somewhere else, but it's not working that way as of yet. But anyway, I'll wait till I find the material I want to share. Okay, I'm working at it right now. Chinese digital yuan, CBDC, used for the first time to settle cross-border oil deal. I'll show you this and I'll get back to the article. I went to a bank the other day, Melody, to take care of some business, talking to one of the managers in the bank. And this young lady was sharing with me that how what we're doing now is all going to come to an end, what we've been used to all of our lives. There'll be no more, you know, said there'll be very few tellers in the bank. You won't be working directly with people. You'll be working with, I guess, machines or something. I have no idea. But there'll be, you know, the idea of cash and stuff is disappearing. Now, she said it may take a few years, but it's coming together. And she's worked with the banking system now for several years. So she's saying this, we're seeing CBDCs are going to be something that everybody's going to have to use because that's all you're going to have. That irritates me, but I can see it happening. The digital yuan is being used for the first time to settle an oil transaction, the Shanghai Petroleum and Natural Gas Exchange announced. PetroChina International bought 1 million barrels of crude on October 19th. The transaction, it's break time. I'll finish that break. Okay.
It is, so please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're in the third segment of Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with Pastor Butch Paugh. And I know you wanted to finish up
I do, yes.
What you were speaking about.
I will say this has been a fast broadcast. I love it when we share back and forth our thoughts and opinions. I know sometimes it's not all financial news, folks, but I like to share back and forth what's on our mind because I know people that are listening are probably thinking of some of the same things we are. And sometimes validating each other's thoughts is important so we know we're not just off the wall. But anyway, back to the article. The transaction was a response to a call by the Shanghai Municipal Party Committee and municipal government to apply the Chinese Central Bank digital currency, also referred to as the CNY, to international trade. The exchange said it is another major step for the digital yuan, according to the state-controlled China Daily. So this is expanding. Whether you like it or not, that digital monies are coming to this our country and around the world. It's going to be a trade where you will no longer have to have cash in your hand and a card, maybe a phone, maybe one day the chip. You never know, but that's coming, Melody.
Yes,
are you
is.
There, Melody?
I am. I'm here.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to that?
No, I don't. I appreciate what you're, you know, the bank lady talking about. Yeah, we're going to wake up one day to a whole different new world. There is going to be a new monetary system introduced. We know it probably has something to do with digital, but we don't know yet. We don't know how it's going to be introduced. We don't know what it's going to be called. We just don't know. But I'll guarantee it's being either it's already been written, or they're in the process. So
I did read an article today that thousands and thousands of ATM machines are shutting down. They're taking them out. Cash will no longer be able to get walk up, put in whatever card, and get a cash out. That's going away. That's going away, folks.
Well, we reported on banks closing, branches closing. Not banks, but their branches. They're closing down their branches. Closing.
Yes. They don't need them. They don't need the people. Wow. Auto execs are coming clean. EVs aren't working. I'm tickled to hear that. With signs of growing inventory and slowing sales, auto industry executives admitted this week that their ambitious electric vehicle plans are in jeopardy, at least in the near term. Several C-suite leaders at some of the biggest car makers voiced fresh unease about the electric car market's growth as concerns over the viability of these vehicles put the multi-billion-dollar electrification strategies at risk. Among those hand-wringing is GM's Mary Barra, historically one of the automotive industry's most bullish CEOs on the future of electrical vehicles. GM has been an early mover in the electric car market, selling the Chevrolet Bolt for 7 years, making bold claims about a fully electric future for the company long before his company's competitors got on the board. But this week on GM's third quarter earnings call, Barra said GM struck a more sober tone. The company announced with its quarterly results that it's abandoning its targets to build 100,000 EVs in the second half of this year, another 400,000 by the first 6 months, 2024. GM doesn't know when it will hit those targets. So they're slowing down the production. But I'm all for that. I don't want them. I don't like them. I don't have to do with them. But finally, GM's come to senses in some areas and saying we're not going to try to build them because nobody's buying them. And I know for a fact my son sells cars. And he said they're not sold. They're just set there. Nobody's buying them. If they do buy them, they bring them back. That should tell us something, shouldn't it, Melody?
Well, you think if the public doesn't want them, why do you want to build them? But, I mean, I think it's a great idea. What I don't like is it being forced upon us and being lied to about how great it is for our country and for the, you know, global climate change, you know, I mean, replacement of, you know, just produce a decent electrical vehicle and let it sell itself.
Well, but
they're not that good, so it can't sell
not.
Itself.
They're not.
They need to go back to the drawing board and figure it out. Why push on these worthless machines to people who pay $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 or more for them that don't work? You know, fix it.
And the batteries go out. You can't afford to replace the batteries. And with the grid going down, and that could happen, where do you get fuel? I mean, at least the gasoline, maybe if the grid goes down, you can't fill a pump. I realize that. But you can store some gasoline. It's hard to store electricity in a barrel. But anyway, Janet Yellen, bless her heart, rising cost of debt is due to strong economy, not large deficit. Golly, I'm glad she told me that because I've been sweating paying the bills lately. I guess it's just all me. During an interview with Bloomberg on Thursday, Trade Secretary Janet Yellen stated that the rise in Treasury yields that increases the cost of U.S. government borrowing money isn't largely connected to the deficit. Now listen to this, Melody, you'll love this. But it's largely a reflection of the resilience that people are seeing in the U.S. economy that we're not having a recession. The consumer spending and demand continue to be strong. The economy is continuing to show tremendous robustness. So the people are spending because they've got plenty of money to spend. They're not spending because they're just trying to keep their head above water. They're not going further and further in credit card debt to keep food on the table. No. this is all because the economy is so good and people are just spending. So the rising cost of debt is not the government's fault. It's our fault. Now, Melody, why didn't we figure that out?
Oh, well, you know, it's just, well, you know what people said? If people are told there's no recession, there's no recession. If people are told that, you know, things are good and the economy is great, people are going to believe it. People believe whatever they hear without thinking. They took away the ability for people to think. I mean, even just today, we talked about, you know, people are, you know, paying more than what their wages are going. Oh, that's a great economy.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, so, again, I don't mind using myself for example. You know, I've had to start watching different things and trying to keep ends going together. I'm blessed. I'm not hurting for anything. But the luxury things that I used to do all the time, eating out more often, I've had slowed down. I want to start buying the cheapies at the on the menu. That's just the way it is. And you mentioned today about butter going up. Well, butter, I had to stop and get a pound of butter. Generally, I buy country butter off a neighbor. But I didn't get a chance to stop today. A pound of butter is $4.75. Real butter. I don't buy margarine. Real butter. Almost $5 a pound, Melody. So you were right. The price has already gone up on butter.
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing that for us.
You're quite welcome.
Okay. Now, different topics. This is kind of a variable type of some topics here. But I want to get one more thing on the war between Russia. Russian Navy no longer safe anywhere, warns Zelensky. Russian Navy has withdrawn from around Ukraine over the past month, but it still isn't safe as its new anchorage in the eastern Black Sea, warns President Volodymyr Zelensky, saying they will still be in range of the country's newly acquired long-range missiles. The Russian Black Sea fleet, functionally defeated by Ukraine already, according to British reckoning, had been repositioned to a new base in Georgia to escape strikes by Ukrainian forces, but even this won't save them, a warning states. Making an address on Tuesday, Ukrainian President Zelensky vowed his forces would continue to strike using missiles and drones, hailing his own historic achievement of driving the Black Sea Fleet away from Sevastopol with a series of highly publicized strikes using British and French donated cruise missiles. Zelensky and Russian dominance had once appeared insurmountable. Now the illusions are fading away, he said. I wonder. I wonder what's really true about that and what isn't. You have to try to figure that out. This is interesting, though. That Biden won't appear on New Hampshire primary ballot. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
President Joe Biden will not have his name on the New Hampshire Democratic primary ballot after the state refused to abide by new Democratic Party rules that South Carolina holds primary contest first, the Biden reelection campaign said on Tuesday. The Democratic Party had moved to eliminating Iowa and New Hampshire, the states holding the first two elections nominating contest in favor of South Carolina. New Hampshire state law mandates that the state hold its primary election first. But the Democratic National Committee wanted South Carolina to go first in a push for influence from more diverse states. I didn't know that the state law in New Hampshire had to be first, but they said his name won't be on the ballot. Interesting.
Well, wow. I believe there's some states where Trump is not going to be on the ballot.
I think that's true. No. Well, things are getting so much simpler in this country. They really are. Oregon school declares, now this is totally off topic and things we've had so far, core skills no longer necessary because minorities aren't testing well. School officials in Oregon have decided that proficiency in reading, writing, and math are no longer necessary in order to graduate, reasoning that minority children are not testing well, and therefore the current standards are discriminatory. Isn't that great? The Daily Mail reports that the State Board of Education there voted to suspend the need to prove standards in cores for 5 years because equity or something. Board members claimed that the state mandated that standardized tests will still be administered to most high school students in the state, but will not be employed to determine whether a student has the skills necessary to graduate. Another board chair, Martinez Zapata, described opposition to the move as a campaign of misinformation and artistic quality and mental acrobatics, further claiming that the arguments against doing away standards are rooted in myopic analysis and bigotry, as well as racial superiority. So teaching your child math makes him a racist now, Millie. Now, how dare you do that?
You know what? When you think about it, though, in the modern world and going forward with AI, kids got these computers. They don't have to know how. I mean.
Well, I realize that. But
so are we missing the – are we just at an age where – we don't quite understand the future?
I don't know this, but it's so ridiculous.
It's bizarre, but I mean, so you know, ridiculous. I mean, they've taken so much away that you used to have go through life knowing. So it's like it doesn't matter anymore what arithmetic and math and other than to me, it's just a way to work your mind. But now all these kids, my gosh, when you're 2 years old, you're on a computer.
Yeah, but what if they're no longer there? What power goes off?
Well.
Anyway. In the good news today, we were talking about Speaker Mike Johnson, new man just put in office, and this could be good news. But it is good news right now. I spoke to a friend of mine last night who's the head counsel for Liberty Counsel. His name is Jonathan Alexander. He knows Mike Johnson personally. He said this man's going to make a change in the House. We will see. But not only him, but other family, their Family Research Council is also saying he's going to make a huge change. It says Johnson called the most unabashedly Christian nationalist speaker in history. Political columnist Sarah Posner called him the most unabashedly Christian nationalist speaker in history. All over social media, church, state, separatists, and LGBTQ right rallies and voting rights advocates have warned today the new speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives represents the most extreme ideology of the Christian right. Mike Johnson, a Republican from Louisiana, may not be well-known by most Americans, but his track record is extensive and consistent. He's an election denier who believes Donald Trump won the election. He's a young earth creationist who believes the earth was created 6,000 years ago. He's a virulent opponent of the LGBTQ community, even to the point of lamenting the dissolution of anti-sodomy laws in a dozen states. He's a hardline anti-abortionist. He believes America was founded by a Christian nation. He has ties to the far-right Christian groups such as Alliance Defending Freedom. Mike is the real deal, and God's hand is all over him and his family, as Pastor John Freem told Baptist Press. I'm so excited and hopeful for a nation with this great man of God leading. Mike loves his church, his country, his family, and his Lord. On the contrary, Poster, an MSNBC columnist, expressed the fears of other moderates and liberals. She said Christian nationalists may no longer have their champion in the White House, but in Johnson, they now have a true believer second in line to the presidency. When Johnson ran for the Congress in 2016, he told the Louisiana Baptist Message he was called by God to politics. I was called to legal ministry, and I've been out on the front lines of that culture war. Some people are called to pastoral ministry, and others called to music ministry. I was called to legal ministry. So whatever that, we'll see. This really could really, really be good news if he sticks to what is right. We'll see. Melody, we're down at the last little bit. What do you want to say?
Well, you know, I saw him interviewed last night, and that question was raised in his comment that he did back in 2001 and so forth. And he kind of weaseled himself out of it, but he came back strong with, if anybody wants to know my views, all they have to do is read the Bible.
Amen.
So, you know, he didn't answer the question directly. He kind of blah, 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 but then he ended up with that. So, pretty cool.
Great. Yeah, if you want my opinion, just read it. Here it is.
Here it is. So, and we all know what that says in the various issues. So,
you do.
We out of time.
You were out of time. We had a great program. I enjoyed it.
Ooh, my goodness gracious.
I hope.
Well, you know what? I'll see you in 10 minutes. Monday morning.
Yes. Monday morning. Have a
Monday
good
morning.
One.
All right. Be safe. Good night and God bless.
Still, there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.